The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Take a listen to this.
I don't need you to love me. I don't need you to love. I've got my sister. I can feel her now. She may not be here.
Now that's a voice.
She's still my.
Here's how New Yorker theater critic Hilton Alls described Cynthia Erivo. She's a little girl with a big voice who, like the young Judy Garland, doesn't really know how to pretend. What she has to offer is her authenticity.
Got my children.
Erivo is currently playing Celie in the Broadway production of The Color Purple. She's a poor young woman living in the South in the 1930s. The production started in London, and Erivo was the only member of the London cast to come over to New York.
We have so much to talk about, and I know you have to get to the theater, so...
I love those glasses. You know I'm a spectacle girl. I love them.
Yes.
Erivo sat down recently with Hilton Alls to talk about her upbringing and her training at the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art.
I was lucky enough to be taught by a woman called Dee Cannon, and she kind of spotted me. And when I say me, I don't say the physical me. I mean like me in my heart, my soul. Really quickly, she knew that there was a girl who was really good at playing strong, mm-hmm. but has vulnerability, but too afraid to show it in front of others. And she helped me be unafraid of using that vulnerability as my strength. Mm-hmm. And I guess I've gone back and forth when it comes to doing roles to that point in my life, in my training, because it's always the thing that helps me get to the character quickest. It's what is this character afraid of? What does this character need? What do they want? What is the thing that drives them? For Celie, I really truly believe that it's her sister.
Yes.
I think that the but whole thing is
love
about
her,
yeah,
real love.
Her real love.
Yeah.
Is about making sure her sister's protected, making sure that her sister's okay. So I genuinely believe she'll do anything for that.
Yes.
To be. And I guess I made the choice not to cover up and hide all those things because I felt like they helped.
Do you think that your propensity to cover up had anything to do with race? You said that this very interesting comment that you made about saying, I don't think it's different to be a black girl in England than it is to be a black girl from America. We all collectively share in a pain of displacement, mm-hmm. and not feeling like we belong, mm-hmm. in places. Did you feel that growing up?
I think so. I mean, you just don't, it's so strange, you just don't see very many of us.
Yes.
Anywhere. I mean, I can walk down
theater.
Yeah,
yes.
I can walk down the street and see hundreds and hundreds of us. We're everywhere.
Yes.
But then you switch on the TV and we don't really exist or can't see them on television.
Yes.
You sort of think, I don't know if that's going to be me. Am I going to disappear just like everybody else? Am I not going to be a part of the world that I want to be a part of? I want to be able to create and tell the stories, but I want to be heard as well when, mm-hmm. I'm telling them. You don't want to just fade into the distance and not be there. You want to be able to share in creativity.
One of the things that I was interested in was, how did John Doyle find you?
I had heard that they would going to do this production in London, and I got on the phone to my agent and I said, I really want to be seen for it. I really want to go in for this character. I want to go in for Celie. I don't know why it was her that I wanted to go in for, but I knew it was that character.
Mm-hmm.
Then I sang for John And
what was your audition song?
My audition song was I'm Changing from Dreamgirls.
Can you sing a little bit for us?
Where should I go from? Look at me, look at me, I am changing, trying every way I can, I am changing, I'll be better than I am, I'm trying to find a way to understand, but I need you, I need you, I need a hand. I am changing. I'll get my life together now. I am changing. I'm gonna start right here, right now. I'm hoping to work it out. And I know that I can. Oh, that would be just fine. I know it's gonna work out this time. 'Cause this time I am. This time I am. And so it goes.
Bravo, bravo, bravo. Well, how could he not give you the part after that audition? That is so incredible.
Thank you.
And so he just said, that's it?
Well, he called me in. He gave me the song, I'm Here, called me back the next day. So I went in, and I remember the room was sort of dark. It was like one or two lights on. It was sort of like nice and dim. And we just sat and talked. I remember we talked just about me, Cynthia, about him, about life, about where it come from, about my parents, about my sister, about all of those things. And then I read these sides and he just let me be messy and fierce in it. And it was so strange because I'd come from a show, so I had my face on and all of that stuff, and it wasn't right. But for some reason, this time around, I could just get past all of the stuff that I was using for that show to be in this moment here. I just remember having a great time doing that.
Tell me about your background a bit.
I'm from London, born and bred. My parents are both Nigerian. And I guess the African background is very emotional anyway. We wear our hearts on our sleeves.
Yes.
That something's truly open. But being in London, you kind of learn to, downsize that slightly. I went to RADA.
It's been known as a repressed culture.
ever so slightly. I went to RADA and...
Tell our American listeners what RADA is.
RADA is the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts. Mm-hmm. It's one of the long-standing drama schools in London, in the UK.
It's about classical training.
Very much so. Yeah. And I guess...
Is that from high school to RADA or...?
I went from high school to university because something in my head went in the opposite direction and said, well, I should do a book course and learn that way.
What were you studying?
I was studying music psychology.
What does that mean?
Well, it's the psychology of music, i.e. I have this fascination with the voice and how we perceive it and how we ourselves change it for others when we're speaking to others. Because I believe that the speaking voice is very connected to the singing voice. If you can't go from speaking to singing, then there's something that's not quite right. There's something that's not connecting.
Is it because you associate it with the voice with freedom?
Yeah.
So you associate the ways in which we speak or don't speak or sing or don't sing with blockage, sort of
that's
mental
exactly
blockage.
What it is, yeah. Wow. Yeah. I remember I was doing it was actually just a question and answer thing that a school had called me in so that I could sit and talk with these students of the school and they could ask me questions about what I had done, where I was going and all of those things. And one of these ladies, she asked me a question and I remember she had this tiny, tiny voice. Like it was like she turned the volume down on herself.
Wow.
And it was miniature. And I remember looking at her face thinking, that doesn't match you.
Yeah.
And I said, you're not using your own speaking voice, what's happening here? Has anyone said that you intimidate them when you speak with your normal voice? And she burst into tears.
Wow.
So I took her to the back of the room and I said, just say hello into the curtain as if no one's there and try and get that word hello to the back of the room behind you. Take a breath, breathe, and say the word. Really say it. She said it came down in pitch and it was booming all of a sudden, this voice. So it went from hello to hello.
Right.
Which was like, to me, was fascinating because all of a sudden I thought, well, that's your speaking voice.
Right.
You want to be able to walk into the room and have a person see you, all
yes.
of you. I feel like if they can't hear you, they can't quite picture what's going on and who you are and what you can bring to something. And, you know, automatically you walk into a room afraid.
Yes.
So I just wanted to make sure that she at least started somewhere to know that she didn't have to walk into a room.
And not projecting fear.
I mean, fear.
The thing that you do as Seeley that is so brilliant is that you don't overproject Seeley's fear at
yeah.
all. Your body is so relaxed on stage.
Yeah.
Was there early energy about getting it to New York?
Well, I think there was, but I was blind to it.
Well, you were in the character.
I was, yeah.
So Seeley's never been on a plane.
Yeah,
right?
I was like, okay, yeah. So it was like the first... I think it's the first show, and I remember I spoke to Scott Sanders, who is our producer,
mm-hmm.
and he said, would you be interested in taking this to New York, to Broadway? And in my very English way, I was like, oh, of course, if you'll have me, well, be great, that would be fantastic.
Yes.
I didn't realise that Scott is not very good at joking. I didn't realise that that was an actual proposition. He was being 100% serious about the consideration to take it to Broadway.
Yes.
And then about 2 months later, I was called into the office to have a conversation about it and whether or not it was something I wanted to do. And I was like, yes.
Yes,
that's a certainty. You know, really and truly, I don't think I believed that it was actually going to happen until I was sat on the plane to get here.
Yes.
It still wasn't like, it hadn't sunk in yet that I was going to relive this role on Broadway. I still
can't believe it.
I'm still a bit like, wait a minute. How did this happen?
Yes. Part of what makes the experience so profound, of course, is the audience that comes. It is sad but true that a lot of Broadway audiences aren't mixed.
Yeah.
This audience is so mixed.
So mixed.
Was it the same in London?
I think it was, actually. It didn't start out that way, but more and more it trickled out to the communities and everybody was there, young, old, white, black, Chinese, whatever. Everyone just was there.
Yes.
And it was wonderful to see this mixed bag of people, whether it was someone who worked in the city or someone who worked at Tesco's or something.
Yes.
It was just people.
Yes.
Coming together to watch people.
Yes.
And it was wonderful. And to see that en masse now here on Broadway is completely overwhelming.
The hall is bigger here.
Yeah, much bigger. It's like 1,100 or 1,078 or something like that,
right.
Around about there.
And
yeah.
Compared to England, which was...
200.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I didn't realize the discrepancy was so huge.
Yeah. The first night when I stepped on stage here, I was like, whoa, this is huge.
Wow.
So every time someone said, was it really intimate theater? I was like, you have no idea.
I was
singing on someone's lap
yes.
this before. This is like huge. I'm gonna
I'm gonna fly.
Yes, I'm beautiful.
Cynthia Erivo talking with the New Yorker theater critic Hilton Alls. She's performing now in The Color Purple on Broadway. Who knows what she'll do next?
If Hamilton did come up and they wanted to put a female in one of the male roles, I would love to take that challenge on and try and do
something
like that. I would love to just have an adventure, see what happens.